It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
KFI AM 640. This is Dr. Wendy Walsh, and you have the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. I want you to sit back because this is your year. This is your year for love. This is your year to finally make a connection with somebody. Or maybe if you're in a relationship, maybe this is your year to end it if it's time. I want to remind everybody we are a species of serial monogamy, and marriages, when they said till death do us part, death was pretty imminent. And so there's no such thing as a failed relationship. We're going to get into it. Also, I've got some tips for men and your dating profiles. I want to be kind to you, gentlemen, but there are a few things you need to learn about women's eyes and what they see and the data on what they click on. Before we get going, though, roll call, because I'm working from home, as many people are. We have Zach on the board. Zach, you with us?
Yes, I am.
Did you have a nice holiday?
I absolutely did. How about you?
Well, quiet. Peaceful, small. So that was okay. I'm used to doing big parties. So that was a little different for me. And then do we have Morgan with us? Hey, Morgan,
howdy.
You there?
How are you, Wendy?
Hi. Good. Did you have a nice holiday?
I did. Mine was like yours. It was really quiet, kind of weird.
I know. It's like we just sort of passed by it. Claudette, did you have a nice holiday? Were you here or did you go away?
Hi, Dr. Wendy. For this holiday, I worked as well, but honestly, Most people didn't end up doing anything, so I guess mine was kind of good.
Yeah, you don't miss anything when nothing's happening, right? And when I've resorted to wearing double masks when I go out. Yes, and a face shield and gloves. Yeah, I'm that one. You can't even recognize me. There I am, because the number of COVID deaths is way higher than it was back in March. Anxiety. In March, I was such a scaredy cat that I would only go out for my walks before sunrise in the dark so that I wouldn't ever see another human. Is that crazy? I'd be waking up at like 4:35 in the morning to get my walk in. And now the COVID transmission rates are going faster. The number of infections, of course, are shooting through the roof. And yesterday, we lost 138 people just in LA County. Okay, according to the LA County's press release that I read yesterday, that's 138 deaths in our city. But new cases, 15,000 a day. We also have nearly 8,000 people in hospital. I mean, when my family in Eastern Canada is calling me and saying that they've seen hospitals on the news from LA talking about how they've turned gift shops and lobbies into ICUs and the waiting room is a tent in the parking lot, you know we're the epicenter. So I still don't get why I see these young millennial super spreaders out there. I went through a drive-through In-N-Out burger the other night. And yes, the line is very long, but they're so efficient. It goes so fast to get my teenager a burger. And there waiting inside was probably about 30 people in a small little In-N-Out who walked in for their orders. And nobody wearing masks or half of them wearing masks. It was weird. And they're all teenagers and young adults. And I'm like, you're the ones bringing it home to your parents, folks. Seriously. Okay, that's my Auntie Wendy lecture. Auntie Wendy is on you. Put that mask on. Stay home. All right. It is Dating Sunday. Yes, it has a name. Over the past 10 years, dating sites, whatever your favorite is, I don't want to favor one over another, Tinder, Bumble, Match, Hinge, Plenty of Fish, eHarmony, maybe even Grindr, I don't know. They all say that they've seen an uptick in people looking for love, and it's always on the first Sunday of each new year. So, you know, I like to break this down and analyze it. I'm like, well, why would that be? So one theory is people have just gotten through the holidays and they were feeling lonely. And a lot of us were alone, right? We felt alone over the holidays. And there's this other crazy, I call it the Hallmark pressure. The Valentine's Day is coming up and people are making New Year's resolutions. Like, I'm going to find a relationship by Valentine's Day. In general, did you know that Sundays tend to be the busiest day for dating apps? It's because we're all busy working the other 6 days of the week. And Sunday's the time to lay around and swipe and swipe. And we have so much more time now, relying on our sweatpants, swiping, swiping. If you've been listening to my show, you know that in the beginning of COVID, I swiped and I found a lovely boyfriend on Bumble. And so now I'm in a committed relationship, which is nice. So later in the show, hang in there with me. I have some special advice for men, because here's the other great thing. There's so much data on the behaviors of women and men on these online dating apps, and they actually know what kind of pictures you post will get you the most, I was going to say likes, but swipe rights, or what you can say in your profile that will get you the most attention of women. Okay, so I'll be talking about that a lot in the next hour. But first, can I talk briefly about New Year's resolutions? Because we always hear that 80% or 90% of New Year's resolutions are broken and done with and thrown in the trash by February 1st. So I want to give you a couple little pointers on behavioral change. First of all, do not plan to succeed, plan to fail, and don't count on willpower. When I say plan to fail, is the way you change your behavior is you focus on all the obstacles in your way. That's why people who go to AA are told, you know, don't hang out with your drinking buddies, don't go to bars, don't change your environment, right? So think about all the obstacles to whatever behavioral change you're going to have and make a plan to of how you're going to walk around those obstacles. Secondly, don't do it alone. The research shows that most behavioral change is better done with social support. So find somebody in your household who wants to do the same diet and exercise program or who wants to help save money with you and work together. Also, always think of adding something to your life rather than subtracting. Look, 4.5 years ago when I gave up sugar and I went on the low carb diet, I didn't focus on giving up pasta, bread, and rice. I focused on how delicious it is to be on a high fat diet. I'm like, ooh, what's another fatty thing I could eat? Ooh, that's great. I can have bacon now. Wow. I can have sugar-free ice cream. Oh my goodness. Butter too. So I just focused on what I was adding, things that I've been missing in the past. So focus on what you're adding to your life, not taking away. All right. When we come back, new research on COVID quarantined couples shows that losing a job or being socially isolated hasn't really impacted the happiness of most couples. Oh, but there's one thing that has. And if you're not doing this one thing, you might be marching towards a COVID divorce. Just saying, when we come back, you're listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more.
KFI AM 640. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. When we are on lockdown, as we are now, here at iHeartMedia, we'd like to do some small business shout outs. And Morgan Cook gave me a great suggestion today because a little bird told me she also works there. And it is Toro Sushi Poke House. Did I say it right, Morgan?
You did. You got it.
Toro Sushi Poke House. It's a family-owned and operated traditional Japanese and Hawaiian restaurant in downtown Burbank. They offer poke, sushi, and ramen, as well as beer, wine, and sake. And you can order online. You can call them. You can pick it up. You can have it delivered. I want to give you the phone number to Toro Sushi Poke House. If you're in the Burbank area, you should call and order dinner right now. That's 818-238-9568. They're on San Fernando Boulevard. 818-238-9568. Toro Sushi Poke House. I'm hungry just talking about it. And if you know of a small business who's struggling right now during these times, please go onto my social media and send me a message about them. And we'd love to feature them on the show. My social media everywhere is at DR, the short form for doctor, at DR Wendy Walsh. Oh, by the way, I'm so bored. I now have a TikTok. Okay. I have a TikTok. No, I'm not dancing. I don't do any of the TikTok dancing. I give relationship advice, scientific stuff, of course. So if you want to see me, you can follow me on TikTok, but I'm also everywhere. Instagram. If you follow me on Instagram during the show at Dr. Wendy Walsh, and I check it on the commercial breaks. And then if I like what I see, I'll follow you back and I'll give you a shout out on air. All right. Oh, what has this pandemic done to our relationship? We know the pandemic has caused a huge amount of stress, stress about our health, stress about our finances, and all this can really strain our personal relationships. And then the other thing is, it's sort of like relentless lockdown, constant contact with the person you live with that you thought you loved, but you need to take a break from time to time. That in itself can cause stress and conflict. Now, interesting, in the last few weeks, the media, including myself, have been reporting a 34% increase in divorce filings. And my theory was, you know what? You were on the edge of it anyway. COVID just put you over the edge, and that's why it's happening. But when I dug a little deeper, I found that this data actually came from an online kind of do-it-yourself divorce site that rose in 34% in volume. So this is probably just because money problems during COVID means that people aren't calling traditional attorneys. They're going to a do-it-yourself divorce site online to save money. But also, it's just easier, right? If you have sort of not a lot of things to contest, it's easier. Now, as far as actual divorces, the Institute of Family Studies examined divorce filings in 5 states from January till August, and they found a decrease in divorce filings. So for many, many couples, relationships have actually gotten better. Some couples have found themselves actually bonding over kind of like shared adversity, right? The lockdown has given couples like all this time to spend with each other. And that, just being around each other, you know, familiarity doesn't breed contempt, folks. Familiarity breeds like, right? And love and feelings of closeness and appreciation. I know many couples who have said to me, oh my gosh, I so appreciate my husband during this time. This is such a hard time. Or I so love my wife right now. I can't believe how she has stepped up and how they responded during stress. So there's this new study that was published in Psychological Science. Hannah Williamson, Dr. Hannah Williamson out of the University of Texas, Austin, actually tracked changes in relationship satisfaction before and during the pandemic. See, she was actually already had mounted a research study, and then it just continued on when the pandemic hit. So she's got lots of good data. And what she found is that, you know, one thing that did go down is that partners were less likely to blame their partners for intentionally engaging in bad behavior. In other words, in the old days, you would blame your partner if things were bad. But now if your partner had bad behavior, you'd say, oh, they're under stress. It's the pandemic. It's so hard. So the other thing she found is that if a member of a couple lost their job, or they lost money, or they were feeling really socially isolated, it didn't actually impact their relationship satisfaction. But there was one thing that did, and that was how much conflict couples experienced during the pandemic and how much they helped each other cope with stress. Remember, a relationship is an exchange of care, and emotional care is some of the most important care you can give your partner. When we come back, I'm going to give you a couple quick tips on the things you can actually do to help your partner cope with stress. And also, I have a special guest, Dr. Justin Garcia, director of the Kinsey Institute at Indiana University. He has a study on sex and relationships during COVID. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. I checked my Instagram over the break there, and here's somebody I followed back who you might like to follow. His name is James Singletary, like single, Terry, T-E-R-R-Y. He's a photographer, has beautiful nature photography and planets, and oh my gosh, it's gorgeous. It's a treat for my eyes. I love the birds, James. And if you'd like to follow me, it's at Dr. Wendy Walsh. If I like what I see, I'll follow you back and give you a shout out. Okay, before we go to our guest, I want to quickly tell you that the couples who seem to have increased in relationship satisfaction during COVID were people whose partners helped each other cope with stress. So what does that actually mean? It means learning how to listen without judgment. Just let people speak and have their feelings and never say, you're overreacting, you're overthinking this. Basically say, I understand, or I hear you, or it sounds like, and mirror back to them what you're hearing. Honestly, you don't even have to solve the problem. Just let them express is a great way to help them cope with stress. Also, try to schedule some relaxing, pleasant activities. And I don't mean falling asleep in front of Netflix every night. I mean something, whether it's a walk together, a picnic, even just a drive to a place you haven't been before. Do something that is a break from work and kids, etc. Also, share household chores fairly. When people are under stress, it's very difficult for them to deal. I know myself, if my house and my space isn't tidy, I can't get internally organized. So I get a wee tad grumpy when things are out of place. So help in the household. And finally, think of yourself as a team. As soon as you tell your partner you're on the team, you're in there with them, that takes away 50% of the stress burden. Okay, speaking of couples, the other part of couple life, of course, is an enriching, lovely, connected sex life, which changes.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Which is, of course, across the lifespan and across the length of a relationship. So I would like to bring in my guest, my very special guest, Dr. Justin Garcia, director of the world-famous Kinsey Institute at Indiana University. Hi, Dr. Garcia. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Walsh. So good to be on with you. Thanks for inviting me.
And you are in New York, right?
I am at the moment. I'm in Queens, actually, in New York City.
Is it cold?
It's not too bad, actually. We got a little bit of rain today, but it's not. I don't have your California weather, that's for sure.
Well, we just have gray and in the 60s. That's our version of winter. Just it gets sort of gray.
I feel more connected. Okay.
All right. So you've been doing some studies on sexuality and relationships in a time of COVID. What is the big takeaway that you've found? Is the news all bad for couples?
I think it's mixed. And I think we can look at couples, we can look at single people. I think that there's both some really good news, and I think that there's some, I don't know if troubling is the right word, but some data that says there's room for improvement with the new year. I'll take your positive approach too.
Exactly.
Don't be negative. I think the big picture, what our study found, so we did a large multinational study very early on in the pandemic, and we've been tracking people over the last few months. So it's a study based at the Kinsey Institute, my colleagues, Justin LaMiller, who you know, and Amanda Gesselman, and Kristen Mark. And what we found was that on average, sexual frequency has gone down for people of all relationship types, singles, partnered people, married people. So the frequency of sexual activity has decreased, but also the quality of their sexual life has decreased. So when we asked people overall how they would measure their quality, I'm always a bit skeptical, I know you are as well, of people who sometimes overly associate frequency with quality. You could have sex once a month and be totally happy. And someone else would be totally miserable at that frequency. But overall, we saw a decrease in quality and a decrease in frequency.
And what can I interrupt you to ask? Mm-hmm. What kinds of questions did you ask for people to rate mm-hmm. the quality of their relationship? Like, what makes good quality sex? I thought there was no such thing as bad sex.
Well, it's a really good point. So what we did was we asked about... So there's what a lot of researchers do is they separate a measure of a relationship quality and sexual quality. And there's a couple ways you can do it. We use a measure that there's three different questions that will sort of get at different aspects of how you think about sex. And the bottom line is really we ask people, are you satisfied with your sex life at the moment? And that's where you see really interesting things. That's where you see some of the challenges that many couples face is that often they, you know, the kind of classic joke is you could say one partner says, you know, we never have enough sex. We only have sex three times a week. And the other one says, we have so much sex. We have sex three times a week. So the perspective is really from an individual, are they satisfied with that? Rather than using objective numbers, it's a case where we want a subjective experience from an individual and say, are you satisfied?
While we're talking about couples, you know, one of the things that does reduce, from research I've read, sort of their rating of the quality of their sex life is when their sexual script becomes narrow. So I would think during COVID, mm-hmm. with the sweatpant lifestyle, mm-hmm. they're not doing so many exotic things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it's one of those, it's what my colleague Eli Finkel in his book, The All or Nothing Marriage, refers to this. One problem that some couples can have is that we look to our partner to do everything, to be the person that takes care of us when we're sick, the person that is cooking our meals, taking care of the house, to turn us on, to have sex with us, to be our emotional muse. And sometimes that's too much. The expectation is too much. And exactly as you said, right now, if we're kind of around them all the time, it can be too much for a lot of people. And they can struggle with things like finding the sort of passion or the excitement, or wanting to turn to the partner for a romantic moment or a sexual moment when you've been maybe working side by side all day or in sweatpants. So a lot of people struggle with that. We did find, though, in the first study that we did, that there was this group that stood out, that they actually had, in some cases, an increase in frequency, and they had an increase in their satisfaction, the overall quality measure we use of their sexual life. And those were people that tried something new. So about 1 in 5 in our sample expanded their sexual repertoire. Since the start of the pandemic, they tried a new sexual behavior. Now, interestingly, a lot of those, when we look at the exact behaviors, it was the infusion of technology, so things like sexting, using new sex products and toys, or it was things like talking to their partner. So things like talking about your fantasies with your partner. So a lot of couples said, you know, we've been together for years, but we've just never really talked about our sexual fantasies. And we're in the house all day, so we finally had that conversation.
And surprise, surprise, right? That sexual communication, I'm being sarcastic. Surprise, surprise. Sexual communication increases sexual pleasure and the mm-hmm. Rating of sexual quality, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's an interesting thing because there's never been, I think you and I and people in the kind of business, we know that these things like communication are good for relationships, good for sexuality. But there's not a great number of data points to point to of examples of that. So this was really a nice way to say, well, here's an example. Here's a tangible, here are some numbers that really tell us this is the strength of that relationship.
You know, this week we put out an episode of Mating Matters podcast with your colleague who worked on this study with you, Dr. Justin Lehmiller. Mm-hmm. And it was about fantasies and fetishes. And one of the things he mm-hmm. said that was so surprising to me is that most of the fantasies people have are not about celebrities. They're about their own partner, but they fail mm-hmm. to tell their partner what their fantasies are. That's amazing to me.
Yeah, and I think it's just another example of the kind of the conversations that people are having for all sorts of reasons are not having. Either they're afraid to be honest, or they don't think it's appropriate, or they worry about if they act out on those fantasies. But I think it really, one thing this pandemic teaching us about people's romantic and sexual lives is let's talk more. I mean, even for singles, I think these stories talk more. So if you're on dating
Dr. Garcia, mm-hmm. we have to go to a break, but I want to talk about singles when we come back, as well as your new research on infidelity. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. My guest is Dr. Justin Garcia, director of the Kinsey Institute at Indiana University. KFI AM 640, you have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. My guest, Dr. Justin Garcia, director of the Kinsey Institute at Indiana University. And Dr. Garcia, I think it's safe to say, besides being world famous, you are at the cutting edge of research on relationships and sexuality. Am I right there?
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
So, on the break, I was looking at the mm-hmm. New York Times and terrible rates. I mean, our mayor here in Los Angeles is saying that we're having a new COVID transmission every 6 mm-hmm. seconds, and it's happening often mm-hmm. within household spreads. The entire pandemic has been very hard on singles, and especially young singles who may not be living with their family of origin, maybe alone or with roommates, and wanting to have, I mean, sexuality is also comfort and closeness and stress reduction, right? But they can't just go on apps and go hook up with people. What have you seen in your research on how single people are faring?
Yeah, so in another study we did, so we do a big study every year with Match.com called the Singles in America Study with my colleague Helen Fisher. And what we found, this is one of my favorite findings from that study, every year we survey 5,000 singles, not people on Match, a national sample, and we found that 1 in 4 singles in our sample this year had sex with a non-romantic roommate. 24%.
So their roommate had become a friends with benefits.
Exactly. So I think people are finding ways to be creative in their sexual outlets. Now, who knows what the long-term consequences of that is going to be? I think that time will tell. But people are finding creative, but also ways to be sexual, and also using technology. So they're using video chats, FaceTime. They're using even sex toys long distance. People are, overall, we actually saw masturbation is down the pandemic, which suggests that I think it's really interesting because it suggests that sexual drive is down, that the libido is down. It's not just that sex is down because people can't get access to partners.
Well, that makes sense because of all the stress, right?
Yep, exactly. That's exactly what I think it is. It's the weight of everything in the world right now. That's not conducive to sexual desire.
Right, because we evolved to put sexual energy aside when there are harsh conditions and survival becomes first.
Exactly. The way I like to think of it is in the natural world, we don't see gazelle mating in front of a lion, right? And when it's threat time, we say, get out of here.
And COVID feels like a lion to many of us right now. So what advice do you have for singles? Obviously, they need to not go on apps and go out in public and be hooking up with people. But I haven't told you personally, but I know that I wrote you an email and told you that I met somebody on Bumble during COVID. And during our first 4 or 5 dates, we met only in windy outdoor restaurants, like literally on cliff sides with wind blowing my hair back. I didn't care. With masks on that we just dropped to eat and put them back up again. And only fist bumped goodbye for like 4 or 5 dates before even a hug happened. So are you seeing that singles are taking the time to grow a slow relationship?
I think a lot are doing what you did, right? And they're, so we know actually in that same sample, 20% said that people have to keep their masks on for a full first date. And I think that's great. But it's hard. It's hard for the evolved animal because we're used to facial expressions and body language and that's part of a courtship dance and touching someone. And even if it's a hug or reaching out and touching their hand. And, so I think we're trying to get the sensory information. And this is what we see is what we're hearing from singles around North America, particularly in our U.S. study, and trying to piece together ways to connect. The big thing, I think, that this moment has caused is a lot of what you described. Is a more thoughtful conversation. So people aren't hopping into bed after the first or second date. They're not even kissing after the first or second date, even though one of my favorite studies, 50% of people kiss someone on the first date knew instantly there wasn't any chemistry. So we rely on that physical touch. People aren't getting it. So what they're doing instead is getting to know the person. They're building a friendship with this potential partner. And it's the stuff that relationship scientists and therapists and say it's the bedrock of a good romantic relationship is the friendship. But what many people were struggling with the last decade, at least, was that they weren't building friendships. They were going on an app, finding someone, hooking up with them, then maybe dating. We're sort of returning to a courtship pattern of building a relationship with someone, a friendship with them, before we get too romantically or sexually intimate.
I love this idea, especially for younger daters who have been almost conditioned and sometimes pressured to have sex too early. Because that was the cultural norm with the apps, with the advent of the apps. And so those who would prefer to develop a little bit of emotional intimacy before sex now have a great reason.
Exactly. Exactly. And it makes the sex better from all the research we know, because you know the person more, you're more comfortable with them. There's a lot of long-term benefits to it.
Okay. So before we go, I do not want to miss out. I want to talk about your new research on infidelity. Who's cheating these days? Why are people cheating? I know some of the answers.
Sure. So we did a new study on motivations for infidelity with my colleague Dylan Seltzman at the University of Maryland. And what we found was that We asked people about their motivation. So classically, there's what's called the deficit model of infidelity. And that's that people assume that a lot of people who commit infidelity do so because there's a problem in the primary relationship. But we used a statistical analysis called factor analysis. So we asked people hundreds of different reasons, and we boiled it down to eight significant reasons that stood on their own, like motivations. And those were dissatisfaction in the relationship, the primary relationship, a feeling of neglect in the relationship, anger at the partner in the relationship, sexual desire for more partners, a lack of love in the relationship, low commitment in the relationship, a sense of wanting to increase esteem, self-esteem, gaining sexual variety, and situational factors, like I was drunk or not thinking clearly. So we found that these eight reasons explained a lot more of the infidelity than just saying that there's a problem. And what was interesting is the situational reasons. Those people reported lower sexual satisfaction. They had shorter term affairs. So I think what was really interesting about it is that it does tell us that many people do at some point step outside of a romantic relationship, but that doesn't mean that they don't really care about their partner. It doesn't have to be the end. And many of the people who cheat for those reasons actually don't leave the relationship, and in some cases don't even tell the partner, because it's not a romantic affair they're having. It's a sort of sexual tryst. And that's not to say it's okay or it's not okay. I'm not in the moral business, but it is to say that those people, they still seem to be quite attached to their primary relationships. So infidelity can happen for a lot of different reasons, and those different reasons are associated with different outcomes for the people involved.
You know, we have to go to a break, but I just want to say that in hearing that laundry list of reasons, you know, at least half or more really have to do with relationship issues, neglecting your partner, being angry with your partner, not feeling love from your partner, dissatisfaction with the relationship overall. So I really think you and I are on the right track in helping people have healthier relationships, because ultimately that's going to create better sex lives.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much for being with me. One of my favorite people of all time on the planet alive today. And I get to talk to him, Dr. Justin Garcia, director of the Kinsey Institute at Indiana University. We'll talk soon.
Thanks so much. Talk soon. Bye.
All right, bye. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. When we come back, a very interesting listener question. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you. No pills gonna cure.
640. This is Dr. Wendy Walsh. You've got the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show in your ears. And I love it when I hear from listeners. I particularly love it when I hear from you on social media. And we also have, you know, my podcast is called Mating Matters. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts. It's all about evolutionary psychology. And we have a voicemail for Mating Matters. And listeners from both the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show or Mating Matters can call and leave me voicemails. Because I know when we do calls, like when we take listener calls, I know what's going on in your head. You're too shy. And you're like, what if my husband hears? What if my wife hears? What if my boyfriend knows about this, right? So you don't call so much whenever I say call. But it's nice to go into the voicemail. We keep your name out of it and your location out of it if you want. And so I got a call this week from a young woman on the Mating Matters hotline. I'm going to give you that number, and I'll hopefully remember to do it at the end too in case you ever want to call. It's a voicemail. And it is 323-207-8277, 323-207-8277. I should probably post it on my social too, so it's there. Okay, so Zach, do we have a recording of the voicemail from our listener? Can you play it? Hello? Okay. I know we have a voicemail from this listener because I listened to it twice and she had a really good question and I wanted to make sure that we could air it. Have you found it there, Zach? Okay, go ahead.
Hi there. I'm 22 years old. I just discovered your show a couple days ago, so I've only listened to about 7 episodes, which is a lot in the course of a couple days. So my apologies if this is something maybe you've already explored or briefly discussed in a podcast. I'm the 4th daughter of a family of 6. My parents divorced a couple years ago, but I grew up with a very dysfunctional family in the sense of their relationship that was just very poor and, you know, not loving. I have 3 older sisters, and we all have very different sort of attachment styles when it comes to our romantic partners. I find that me and the oldest one are very detached and often emotionally unavailable, and the middle two are very, very attached, very obsessive over their partners. What do the models of our parents' love life, whether that's very healthy or unhealthy or sort of somewhere in the middle, how does that affect the way that we seek out love? Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
That was an excellent question from a listener. And when I heard it, I thought, oh my gosh, I have to answer this on the air because so many people can benefit from this knowledge. So basically, psychologists use their favorite psychobabble term is that in our heads, we all have a working model for love. That means we have a schema, a picture of what we think love should be. Then we go out into our adult romantic lives and we find people who will fit in with our idea of what love should be. Now, if love is filled with pain, neglect, or joy and caring, then we will find partners who will make that schema happen. Now, how do we make this working model for love? This is what she's asking. And there are 3 relationships that form this working model for love. The first is, and probably the biggest one, is the relationship we have with our mother. That's why therapists famously ask, tell me about your mother in the very first session, right? So especially in the early time, even in the first year of life, when the brain is tripling in size and making assumptions about the world, can the world be trusted? Am I valuable? The baby uses their relationship with their mother to make these determinants. At the same time, they're forming a relationship with father. So the other relationship is the relationship they had with their father. And so for many people who might have even had an absentee, well, mother or father, there's this big empty hole where love should be. So sometimes there can be a confusion or feelings of abandonment or longing. And the other is the third relationship is the relationship you witness between both parents, right? And so this is what this young woman is asking about, is she's saying, what is the model for love? And do my parents model of that, what they modeled for me, does that influence how I love? And the answer is yes, but also how they treated you. So for instance, there could be a family where the mom was, you know, super attentive with her babies, really into, you know, maybe baby wearing and sleeping with babies and nursing her babies so that they quelled any anxiety they might have. And I don't mean a smothering, engulfing mother here. I mean like somebody who's just attuned to her babies, but might be in not so great relationship with the baby's father. So the kid would actually have a very happy working model of love, even though there's this missing piece. But the model is actually a mixture of all 3, and one can be more dominant than the other. And don't discount relationships with siblings, because consistently older siblings helped raise younger siblings. So if you had a dysfunctional relationship with your sibling, I mean, maybe you were even abused by an older brother or something, that also plays into your model for love. Now, also keep in mind that we all have a genetic predisposition, right? So some babies come into the world that are, we call them high need babies, meaning they have a lot of anxiety, right? And if that adult caregiver responds with love and care and helping them through their anxieties as a baby, then that gene may not flourish. That same baby could come into the world crying a lot all the night, and the parents could be like, oh, they need to work out their lungs. Let's just lock them in a room until they fall asleep out of exhaustion. And then you're actually making the anxiety gene flourish, right? So genetic predisposition is a piece of it. Now, the thing that she finds interesting is that two of her sisters, she and the oldest one, behave in a detached emotional way in their love relationships. And the two others she calls obsessive. Well, I want to let this listener know that those are two sides to the same coin, because whether you're detached or obsessive, you basically mistrust love. So in other words, one group, the detached group, the emotionally avoidant group, says, I will never be vulnerable and intimate with you because I'm afraid you can't take care of my needs. So I will be so emotionally independent that I won't be able to depend on you for anything. It's a protective thing. And then the other group is like, I am going to be very vigilant to any threats of abandonment. Where are you going? Who are you with? What's going on in your social media, right? That's the anxious, insecurely attached person. But it's kind of the same thing. And then what we all hope to be is securely attached, where we can give love and receive love comfortably. And yes, it is possible to change your attachment style. If you are fortunate enough to fall in love with some hot person who happens to have a secure attachment style, over time, your insecurities and anxieties or even avoidance will calm down and you will begin to feel safe. At the end of the day, love relationships are so good for our health. They're good for our physical health and our mental health because they reduce our stress hormones and actually bring beautiful neural hormones into our brains, right? Dopamine, oxytocin, norepinephrine, hormones that are feel-good, well-being hormones. And so I encourage all of you who are listening to explore your attachment style with a therapist and work on some of these things, because love is just so darn good for you. All right. When we come back, expanding on what Dr. Justin Garcia said, another study I was reading this week in a journal called Sexual and Relationship Therapy asked the question, is good sex still happening in your marriage or your long-term relationship? If not, I've got some advice for you on how you can change that. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640, you have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. Okay, on my Instagram, I followed an account called Light Space, but listen to how they spell it. L3IS GHT. Space, like light bulb, but with three eyes, light space. Oh, it's all about meditation. And the page is beautiful. It's red. I don't know. I just love it. It's calming, even though it's red. I don't know. Anyway, follow Light Space on Instagram. If you'd like to follow me, I'm at Dr. Wendy Walsh. If I like what I see, I'll follow you back and give you a shout out. All right. So we've been talking a lot about sex during COVID because sex is good for our health. Too much sex can be bad with our health, for our health, and too much sex with too many people obviously can be really bad for your health. But regular connection with somebody who you're in partnership with can be very good for your mental and physical health. But as we know, sex starts to decline, the frequency of sex, as couples have been together for a very long time, and that is perfectly normal. A new study called The Strongest Predictors of Sexual Desire was published in Sexual and Relationship Therapy this week by researchers from the University of Kentucky. And I found four interesting takeaways from this research that I really wanted to share with you. So the first one is sort of like, duh, but I'm going to read it anyway. It's so weird. They say, one of the strongest predictors of sexual desire with all the couples they researched was sexual satisfaction. People who had stronger feelings of sexual satisfaction also reported increased feelings of sexual desire. Well, like, duh, if you have a great sex life, then you're going to want to have more sex. Like, that's just, yeah, of course. So the big takeaway for me, however, is exactly what Dr. Garcia said from the Kinsey Institute, that those couples, and he said one in five during COVID, that's what I heard, expanded their sexual script. They tried something different. The other thing you can do to improve your sexual satisfaction, and this has been proven in study after study after study, is to improve your sexual communication skills. You have to get to a place of like intimacy and trust and say words like, baby, I'm really nervous about saying this. I always had this idea and don't make fun of me, please. And then you say it, right? That's how you do it. Okay. The second thing this study said was that relationship length was strongly related to sexual desire. Again, duh. We know that newer relationships have more sex. There starts to be less frequency as the relationship continues. But I want you to do, if you've been in a really long-term relationship and maybe even gone into a sexless marriage, I want you to normalize that, first of all, it's okay to have less sex, but also realize the value of some sex. And also replace sex, if you do get rid of it or reduce it in frequency, with lots of affection. There's so much research to show that actually kissing, frequency of kissing is a better indicator of health of a relationship than frequency of sex. Because sometimes people are having anxiety sex. I don't know. It's weird. Okay. Here's one of my favorites that the research found. Strong expressions of love and feelings of intimacy were also associated with greater sexual desire. So in other words, if somebody feels loved, if they feel emotionally seen, if they feel really connected with somebody, and this goes across all genders, folks, this is a human thing. The more intimacy, the more desire for sex. And I know you avoidantly attached people out there without attachment style are like, no way, that's not going to happen to me. But share your feelings. Tell your partner you love them. Share what's going on inside you. It can increase the desire for sex. Now, there is a big but here, a little bit of a however. According to the research, relationship satisfaction wasn't a reliable predictor of couples' feelings of sexual desire. In other words, you could have high relationship satisfaction, low sexual desire. And in fact, and I know this, people with higher levels of attachment anxiety actually reported stronger feelings of sexual desire. I know there are people out there like, remember the caller who left the voicemail and she was saying that a couple of her sisters were just obsessive about their partners. They are having anxiety sex, right? They're like, I'll show them. They'll love me. I'll just keep them satisfied. It's like fear-based sex, right? So the big takeaway there, strong sexual desire doesn't mean a secure bond. And maybe you should work on your attachment anxiety so that you can create feelings of security. This research was done on more than 200 couples. And the big, big takeaway of it all was that relationship satisfaction precedes sexual satisfaction. So if you work on the relationship stuff, you'll have more and better quality sex. Okay, when we come back, ladies, you don't have to listen anymore. You know all this stuff. The next two segments, I want to talk to men. There's so much data out there. This is Dating Sunday, where you're on dating apps more than any other day of the year. And I will tell you what the data says about what women swipe right on. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. KFI AM 640, you have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. Okay, so on this break, I started to follow an Instagram account called Muka, M-U-K-A, Vintage Shop, M-U-K-A, Vintage Shop, Muka Vintage Shop. Really cool vintage clothes. I want those red and black Kate Spade boots.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
By the way, gorgeous. Oh my gosh, there's some great stuff on this Instagram. You should follow it, especially if you're a fashionista and like vintage. Okay, gentlemen, are you listening? Here's the cool thing about dating apps. There's so much data out there. Now, remember, When somebody, first of all, they shouldn't be called dating apps. They should be called meeting apps. They're just a nightclub where you pass by somebody and say hi, and they may say hi back or not, right? Don't think of them as, I've got to put my heart and soul out there, and then maybe they'll swipe. These are for knee-jerk, unconscious, quick assessment reactions. So your profile, though, can be sort of tricked a little bit to trick women's unconscious biases, all right? And there's lots of data out there provided by science and from the dating app themselves to show what things in a men's profile make women swipe right, that's a match, saying they like you, more often. So I have a few tips for you, like 10. So let's go through them real quick. Do you have a pen and paper? Okay, or type into your phone. This is really important. Okay, number one. Be very clear about your mate status. Now, mate status has to do with income. It has to do with zip code. It has to do with fashion. It has to do with education level. It has to do with profession, right? So here's the thing. There is somebody for everybody, but women most often click on men who are in their league, right? They don't generally click on people or swipe on people who they don't think are kind of one of them. So they're going to go for guys who are at their same physical level and maybe their same income level. And there are lots of ways to indicate that, folks. So my favorite saying is, if your partner is much better looking than you, then you will worry about them having affairs. If your partner is way less attractive than you, then you're always worried that you could have done better. So just be you. There will be somebody who will match with you. All right, number two, again, these are knee-jerk reactions that go back to our hunter-gatherer times. Grow a little bit of stubble, and even for one picture, have some kind of beard. In one study, when women were asked to rank men's attractiveness, this was published in Evolution and Human Behavior, they, of course, gravitated to images featuring guys with a heavy stubble. This is because it shows masculinity. However, they even rated guys who have a beard as being suitable partners for non-committed romantic flings and even for long-term relationships. So whether they're looking for a short-term relationship or a long-term relationship, apparently women like hairy men. All right. So even though the metrosexual thing is out there, stop with all the waxing, guys. Stop it. Stop it. Okay. Number three, do not hide your age. Well, the dating apps do show your real age, but you can lie, so don't lie. Here's one of the things we know is that when men show some gray hair and some wrinkles, women respond positively because of something called the George Clooney effect. And here's the thing. Women tend to look at a man's accomplishments as being far more important to them than a man's looks. And so the more age a man has, the more that is linked to accomplishments, right? And so don't try to look young. If you've got some gray and you've got some wrinkles, flaunt it, because women of all ages will like that. Okay, back to your body. Be fit, but don't be too ripped. Look, a look at many, many studies on this that were published in Personality and Social Psychology Bulletin found that women do, as you would suspect, find men with muscles to be sexier than men who just had no muscular definition at all. But they didn't like men with big muscles, and they didn't like them totally ripped, right? So they want moderate masculinity. In fact, women rated men with big muscles or being totally ripped as more physically dominant and therefore volatile, maybe dangerous, and less committed to their mates. Yeah. When we see these muscle heads, we're like, he's not here for a long-term relationship. He's just here for a fling. And I just want to add personally something here. If you're over 40 on a dating app, please, please, I don't care how fit you are, keep your shirt on, really. And bathroom selfies, just don't do it, okay? If you're going to do some kind of body shot, do it in action. You're cycling, you're surfing, you're climbing, whatever. But don't stand in your bathroom with your shirt off and take a picture of your body. We don't like to see it. And the main reason we don't like to see it is because there's often a toilet in the shot and the toilet seat is up. I'm just going to tell everybody, if you haven't heard this before, that when you flush a toilet with the lid up, forget just the seat, the lid up, it can shoot fecal matter up to 15 feet away. Now look at where your toothbrush is, right? 15 feet away. There's been studies on this. Close the seat and close the lid, men and women. And ladies, never, ever, ever flush a toilet while you're sitting on it. Never. I mean, we know how COVID flies around. All that fecal matter flies around too. You can get sick. All right. Last thing before we have five more after this, but let me just do this in this segment. A study published by the Journal of Experimental Psychology found that there's a certain color that when men wear it in their profile picture, in fact, maybe their predominant picture, their main picture, they're far more likely to unconsciously swipe right. And that color is red. Red. I don't care if it's a red golf shirt, a red t-shirt, a red shirt. Wear a red shirt. You will just get more matches. By the way, ladies, that applies to women too. When women wear red, they get swiped on more with men, by men. It's the craziest thing. So be clear about your mate status. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Grow some stubble. Don't hide your age if you've got some gray. Be fit, but don't be ripped. If you're over 40, keep your shirt on. I don't care how great you look. Don't do it. Because here's the thing. Women are swiping on apps with men who are like much younger than you too. And so in comparison, no, just don't. And wear red. You'll get more matches. When we come back, I have five more tips based on science of what men can do to meet the love of their life on a dating app. Today is Dating Sunday, the day where dating apps and dating websites get the most traffic of the entire year. So I want you to do it right. You're listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Help me, please, doctor. I'm damaged. There's a pain where there once was a heart.
KFI AM 640. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you, and we are talking about men's dating profiles because this is Dating Sunday, where there's more traffic on those dating apps than any other day of the year. And Zach, have I been giving you good advice?
I believe it is.
A lot of guys don't think about these things because it's like an unconscious swipe. And I know that some of what I've been saying and will say sounds superficial because it's supposed to be. It's just supposed to be the first layer of getting somebody to check you out. It's not about relationship skills and developing a close bond. I'll get you with that later. Right now, we just need some matches. You can start chatting with the ladies. Okay. So according to science, here's what the data says on what women like to swipe on. Number 6, look successful. Now, remember I said, be clear about your mate status, which is don't date out of your league. Just be who you are. On the other hand, women also like to be aspirational with men. So I don't care if you're a Caltrans worker, if you're a plumber, if you're an electrician, and I see you all on those dating apps. You look great in your casual clothes and your uniform, but just have one shot where you look a little higher class. So put on a suit. I don't care if it was the picture from your friend's wedding. Women love that. If you want to look one class up and you don't have a house or an apartment that exemplifies that, go stand in front of some classical columns at a museum or sit in a nice car, even if it's at a car show. I have a funny story to tell you. So I told you that I met my boyfriend on Bumble about 5 months ago, and he had a picture sitting in this old tiny car, and it was a real stumbling block for me. I want to be honest. I was just kind of like, what? Is that his car? Well, come to find out, it's like this really rare antique classic Porsche 914 from like 1969 or something. And it's really hard to find. So he thought it would impress all the women. It would impress all the men who are car guys, but I didn't get it. I was like, it's just an old car. So think about it before you do that. Okay, interesting enough, ladies, if you're listening, when the tables are turned, what science shows is that women don't rank women higher status when they are looking rich and they look unattainable to men, right? So being a higher status doesn't help women. I know. It's not fair. I didn't say it was fair. All right, number seven, take some physical risks and take a picture of it. Rock climbing, surfing, high-speed cycling, taking a tight corner on a motorcycle. All those pictures are all over the men's dating apps, by the way. This was a study published in the Journal of Applied Social Psychology found that women like it when a man takes physical risk because it's associated with hunting and gathering. Remember, these are unconscious processes. We don't need you to go out and kill an animal for our dinner, but our ancestors did. So those reflexes lie in our psychology, right? So show yourself doing something outrageous. Oh, I love this. This is a new study. Number eight, show your scars. Yeah. So apparently men with mild facial scars need not worry because women will find them very attractive. This study was published in Personality and Individual Differences. It confirmed that women found men with photorealistic, non-severe facial scarring very attractive. Interestingly enough, they preferred them more for short-term flings. Ooh, like the scar means you're a bit of a bad boy. But you can convert that, okay? She might click on you for a short-term fling. Then you just show her your heart of gold and your good communication skills, and she'll go, oh, okay, he's actually for a long-term relationship. That is a female mating strategy. Well, it's actually all genders, is that we have some short-term relationships, and we go for certain kinds of people for those. And then for long-term relationships, we look for other kinds of people. Okay, number nine. Present open body language. This is a study out of Princeton University, and it showed that postural expansiveness. So you see on men's profile, they're like a stand, they've just hiked to the top of the mountain and their arms are up in the air like they're God, like, hello! Love those shots. Women go crazy for those. Or even just, you know, open, expanded chest, open palms, proud posture. Just look proud and open. We don't like guys that are shrunken in, that are slumping, that are closed off. When you have this open body language, spread, guys, right now, stand wherever you are, stand up as tall as you can. Take your arms, palms forward, out to your side, like, ta-da! Don't you feel more confident just from doing that? Right. They say women are supposed to do the Wonder Woman pose to feel more confident. We put our fists on our hips and we stand super tall. And ladies, you're supposed to do that right before a job interview. Makes you very confident. So anyway, do one of those shots. Present open body language. And finally, but only if you can pull it off, be funny. There have been so many studies showing that women love humorous guys because humor is linked to intelligence and women like smart men. Now, don't try to be funny in your profile if you're not. So you might want to try the joke out on a whole bunch of people before you type it into your profile. But we do swipe right more often on funny guys. A little extra here. Dark hair gets more swipes than blondes in the male category. With women, it is just the opposite. And because I've given so much attention to male profiles, I'm going to end by giving one tip for women. Wear less makeup. A study in the Quarterly Journal of Experimental Psychology shows that most men like a lot less makeup than the ladies are putting on. Oh, and one other positive strategy. If you have a higher voice, ladies, or breathier, it means you have more estrogen and you're more fertile. But when men don't think like that, they just think she's hot. So get on the phone pretty quickly if you have a high voice. Look at me. I'm just pushing it and pushing it. Oh, and one final thing, ladies. I love these little nuggets I find in the research. Do not flaunt your breasts if you want a rich man. A study found that breast size had social class connection. The less money a man made, the larger he preferred a woman's bust to be. Who knew? Maybe because the rich guys are going for the supermodels who don't have big busts. I don't know. Just saying. Can you believe 2 hours has gone by already? Morgan, Zach, what happened? I feel like I just started talking 5 minutes ago.
You're giving us such great tips.
I know. Oh my gosh. Okay. Here's where you can find me during the week. I do a live stream on all my social media every Wednesday at 6 p.m. My social media, the handle is at Dr. Wendy Walsh at Dr. Wendy Walsh. So that's YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, two Facebook pages, Instagram, and now TikTok. I can't believe I have a TikTok channel. And in 2 weeks, I have like 25,000 subscribers. How does that happen? Who are these people? I think they're just sitting home during COVID and swiping and swiping and swiping. But I'm not dancing on TikTok, folks. I am giving good scientific relationship advice. And otherwise, I am here every Sunday for you on KFI AM 640 from 4 to 6. Thank you so much for being with me. It is always my pleasure. Remember, we're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. If you miss a show, you can catch it the next day or whenever.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.